T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Post-game show on EEI is presented by
Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com.
Co-sponsored by the New England Recovery Center. Leave the path of addiction and get on the road to recovery. Visit NewEnglandRecoveryCenter.org for more information.
Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros.
And Zooty. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details. Drop a disappointing one to the Broncos. Now it's time for the real post-game show with Glenn Ordway, Steve DiAsi, and Fred Smirlis. The phone lines are open. Call 617-779-7937. Now broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, here's Ordway, DiAsi, and Smirlis on EEI.
And the way this one was going, you never thought we would see a comeback, but thanks to two interceptions, the Patriots did have an opportunity to pull this one out. It falls short in an incomplete pass from Cam Newton to N'Keal Harry, and here we are. Patriots are now 2-3, and we're alive with the real post-game show. Freddie and Steve, how are we doing today, fellas?
Oh, just peachy. Jeez.
Oh, it hurts.
Sack. No sacks. Don't take a sack.
Just, it was tough to watch.
Yeah, I thought that last sack was really the killer.
You can't hold the ball. Yeah.
Right. Because you can't. Now suddenly you're looking at a 3rd and 10, 4th and 10, and now you're asking for a big, huge play.
And you've been under fire the whole day.
And they're sending people, Steve. You know they're sending people.
Of course they were, because that offensive line is beat up and decimated. Yeah. I get it. Why wouldn't you? That makes sense. First off, Denver's an aggressive team anyway. Now all of a sudden you turn it up because you're playing against 3 out of 5 backups.
So. It's interesting.
Guys, all you have to do, you're setting them up the whole game. A hard count. Not one hard count. Here comes the blitz. You can see it. Everyone's coming. What's he do? He does it. He goes on one. Stop the count. And they're running full speed. You don't have to snap the ball once. Sometime, get a free play.
Sometimes defenses time it well.
I know, but he timed one because he goes on one the whole stinking time.
No, he doesn't.
He put it in the pocket.
He doesn't. You were saying that all day. He doesn't go on one every single time.
He did.
But it would, because you're hearing the same long first count in the second one. I get it. But you're right.
There comes everyone. You see it coming, right?
There were so many opportunities. Again, yeah, it looks easier from when you're sitting in a chair watching it. But but in that situation, of all situations, especially when you know you've been under pressure the whole time, you can't take that sack on third down.
No, it's the end of the game.
I think that's part of the Cam Newton package, guys. I hate to say it. There are things he certainly can do. He can run when a play breaks down. We've seen that. We saw that big, huge run, which set up that touchdown. There's some stuff he can do. Because of his skill set, there's not take and make those mistakes. He'd rather give up the ball out of bounds and live for the next play. This guy's totally different. Yeah. And so you're going to have to live and die with all of it, right?
Which is fine, except that you have a much smaller margin of error this year. When you looked at the first 5 games of the season, you would have said 3-2 was going to be okay.
The Boston Red Sox play here.
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
They're not playing.
No, they're not.
The Red Sox are not playing. The season is done.
You would have looked at the first 5 games and said, okay, Seattle's tough, Kansas City's tough, if you chalk those up as losses, but then you can look at the other 3 and said, there's 3 wins. This is, you don't have, even
a luxury.
Even in the last, over the last 20 years, you normally have had 2-game cushions where you could lose a game like you did to Miami that one year, or a game at the end of the season that didn't matter. You don't have that margin of error here.
He's out there. And he knows his offensive line is decimated, right? And you know they're going to come in quickly. You back up. You can't get sacked. because the clock's going to keep running and you're losing yardage. You can't get sacked. Throw it out of bounds like Steve said. I don't care. Throw it in the stands. You can't get sacked, especially at the end of the game. You know the flow of the game. They're coming. They're coming. You got to get rid of the ball. That's just horrible football.
He did just the opposite, by the way. He stepped into the play. He thought he could run and step into the play. And that's the worst thing you can do because now they've got you, okay? And, you know, the clock is continuing to run. And so the clock is not on your side. Listen, there were opportunities with this defense. And is it fair to say that the thing that kept them in this game all afternoon was their defense on third down? Because without their defense making stops on third down, because Denver was moving the ball up and down the field, but in third down, that's when the defense came up big. They shut them down, and it's the only reason they had a chance, or this would have been a complete blowout if they couldn't make stops in third down.
Wolf was a good team.
You let one of those six field goals turn into a touchdown, and you're not even in at the end. They weren't able to stop the running game that well, so you could have an eight and a half minute drive by Denver in the third quarter. You could to eat up a bunch of clock. The defense played well enough on third down, and the defense put their offense in position to win this game. That's not the issue, and I'm not even counting the two interceptions late in the game. Just by the fact that you held them to field goals instead of, you know, one or two touchdowns out of that, and the game's over. It turns into a blowout, but it's just infuriating that some of the simplest things, like Fred was referring to, throw the ball away. I know you're Superman. I know you're bigger and stronger than most quarterbacks, and you're more agile.
This is this game. You know, this is what you get.
I get it. But at some point, after 10 or 11 years in the league, you've got to know that there's certain situations where being that strong, tough guy in the pocket, which you can admire many times, sometimes discretion is the better part of valor.
Also, Stevie, you can do it. When they're bringing the heat, you step up. Here comes the linebackers, right? The safeties, everything's up there. You can't get through there. Right. I'd rather have you throw it to an area where they have a chance to catch it than take the sack. It's the worst thing you could possibly do.
Freddie, they had a lot of guys up there because he was a bigger threat. Okay,
right.
Than the receivers were of getting open, right?
Yeah.
Right, and that's the way they played it. They were more concerned about Cam Newton and what he could do, and I agree, he played right into it. There was no question.
Yeah.
The other thing I noticed, Freddie, is that Denver was able to really get their running game in gear once Butler got off the field. Once he got off the field, they started moving that ball on the ground.
True, and why wouldn't you? You look at, again, at a defense that's minus a number of guys, you know, not even just from the early opt-outs, but from other COVID scenarios now and injuries now, too. So, and then you had another defense. Yeah, it's just, you look at it and you just say, those are missed opportunities that could spell the doom of this team. You have one more of those missed opportunities like this against a team you should beat, you won't even be thinking about the playoffs.
It's probably the worst team you played. You know, especially when you get them at home, Steve. When you get them, Denver's very difficult. Coming home here?
Yeah, home field's on advantage right now.
Other than the travel,
I guess.
Yeah,
you know, but
better than being on the road. But that's just,
Fred, you can hear everything that's being said out there in the field. It's not like the home crowd is making it difficult for a quarterback to communicate.
But to Fred's point, when you come from a different time zone and you're traveling 2,000 miles, I get it. That's a bit of an advantage.
Okay,
it's supposed to be.
Not like let's address this. Did it not seem to you like the team they played today was in sync because they had been practicing for 2 weeks? You've had literally two practices now in 11 days, and it looked it for the New England Patriots.
Yeah, but Glenn,
they were totally out of sync.
It's fundamentals football. You just don't get sacked. How many times you just sat there?
I'm not saying the sack play
even
had anything to do with that, Fred.
And all the different things that happened. That one thing you can eliminate because the quarterback knows the count, he knows who's coming, and you don't hold the ball. That's all.
I'm not blaming that play on what we've dealt with in the last couple of weeks. But I think you can take into account
that those are all factors. All that stuff is a factor. And yet, in this situation, they still should have won this game.
Yes.
You know, which, well, first off, they
had an opportunity.
I'm disregarding the, you're right, they had an opportunity. I'm disregarding that. I'm talking about the quality of your team and your coaching and all that stuff. You still should have had a better opportunity to win this game.
And some lousy calls. How did they call that a touchdown? He had to throw the flag. How about the one on?
But he got the flag back.
I understand that. But how about the one on the end zone? Offensive defensive interference.
The holding on Gilmore.
Yeah, Hill wasn't holding. Anything. How
agreed.
Did you come up with that?
Agreed. Well, they had their flags tied into their
what
pockets.
Do you think, Fred, corrupt?
Yeah.
You said it. So you,
the referees were not calling penalties today at all. They picked up a couple. They weren't calling. At one point in late in the third quarter, there was only one penalty apiece on these teams. So they were letting them play one way or the other. But it doesn't matter. You got to play with how it's presented. It's just it's a loss like that is infuriating from start to finish, and then maybe even a little more because now you had an opportunity to do something. So that now you're already watching a team play well under what they're capable of doing, and then you see a glimmer, not just a glimmer, you see a light,
momentum swing,
a big
too.
Light at the end of the tunnel, and then all of a sudden you just squash it with not smart plays.
Well, those were bad interceptions for Drew Lock too. So you almost see a young quarterback now starting to feel a little bit of the pressure.
Right.
And you had an opportunity. You had two opportunities there. And unfortunately, it falls short, and the Patriots end up losing this game. And as you said, Stevie, if you're losing games against teams of this quality, it makes it far more difficult
Agreed.
To make the postseason.
Agreed.
It really does. These are the games you've got to win. Yeah. To make it to the postseason.
Absolutely right.
Can't have those mistakes with the way the team is right now.
Denver is a below average team. They're not as bad as the Jets or some of these other bad teams, but they're a below average team. If you expect to be in the playoffs, you got to beat all the below average teams and maybe most of the average teams too. It's just.
And what about the go for two that particular time?
That was another
strange.
Thing that came up. Did you understand that, Glenn, at all
no.
about the idea of going for two?
I
thought that was standard procedure that you wait until you actually have to get it.
Yes.
In order to get it. What do you think?
I don't know. The only thing I could think of is that Belichick wants to know right now whether he's going to need two scores or one score. Because you're right. It didn't make any sense to me at the time. And I think Trent Green was referring to it, saying,
right.
I'm not sure what they're doing right now. Maybe Belichick, I'm sure he'll be asked that question here in the
sure.
post game. We do what's best for the team, fellas.
I know that we all know the answer already. Yeah. And then the other one that didn't get down from the booth where you know the replays aren't. Bill Belichick's not sitting there deciding whether or not he wants to have a.
Is Bill at the podium. We're going to go to Bill at the podium, right? We're going to Bill at the podium. Yes.
Is he there,
Bill?
Okay.
All right. But the call to challenge it usually comes from up top, unless it's something egregious that a coach sees right on the sideline, and that call never came down from the top. The one that James White
what were they looking at
extended for the that absolutely looked like he got his knees.
Yeah, okay, let's go to Bill right now.
No, not really.
Did you get a second at that run?
Just answer the question, Doug.
Okay. Next question, Nick Rapelli, followed by Tara Sullivan.
Bill, how would you evaluate the current status of your offensive line, given the issues with COVID-19 and the injuries in the game? How much of a challenge was it to maintain cohesion in that group, and what challenge presented during the game trying to keep things together as you shuffle things up at halftime?
Yeah, well, it was a big challenge, you know, playing without guys, getting guys hurt, moving around. Had some guys that, you know, haven't played together much, haven't practiced together much. So we need to get on the field. We need to practice. We need to develop some continuity as a team, but especially there.
As a quick follow-up, how much did the limited amount of fully padded practice time you've had in recent weeks do you feel had on today's game?
Yeah, I don't know. But you want a percentage? I have no idea.
Okay. Next question, Tara Sullivan, followed by Dan Roach.
Might be the same question, Bill, but did you feel like your guys were rusty today? In particular, did you think Cam, you know, it was just going to be a little difficult for him to get things going, given how long he'd missed some time?
Yeah, I think I just answered that right at the beginning. We need more time together. We need to practice together. We need to execute and, you know, do everything better. No question about that.
Would you say anything more specifically just on Cam, having him back, just what you thought of his game today?
It's the same for everybody on the team. Nobody's practiced. I mean, we all need, like I said, we all need to do more practice, more, and We need to get our execution levels up a lot higher.
Next question, Dan Roach, followed by Steve Sanchez.
Bill, obviously, what you're talking about, what's happened in the last 2 weeks, what do you take from it now then with, you know, as difficult the 2 weeks as you're probably going to have in your coaching career to see what you guys have gone through? What do you take from it now? What do you say to the team, and what do you do moving forward here that you learned from this experience?
Yeah, we're going to move forward and work harder to be better.
Next question, Steve Sanchez, followed by Phil Perry.
Hi, Bill. Considering that, you know, Denver went up and down the field, you held them to 6 field goals and only 6 points in the second half. Defense gave you a pretty good chance to win this football game from behind.
Yeah, we need to do a better job in all areas of the game. We need to play better on offense, defense, and special teams, and coach better. And we need to do better on everything.
Next question, Phil Perry, and I'd encourage anybody else to raise your hand if you have a question.
Hey, Bill, on a couple of those sacks where Cam was sacked, it looked like he was holding on to the football for a fair amount of time there. Is that Cam not being able to find open receivers, or is there nobody open for him to throw to? Can you see that when you look back at the pictures?
Yeah, we'll look at everything on the film. Phil, there's a lot going on out there. I couldn't analyze all of it, but we need to do everything better. I think I've said that 3 or 4 times, so I'll just say it again. We need to do everything better.
Weeks ago, starting today at right tackle, and he got rolled up on.
Looks like the final question would be Nick O'Malley. Go ahead, Nick.
Bill, what assessment did you have from your defense in the red zone today, holding the Broncos to no touchdowns and keep you guys into the game late?
What was the question again?
What's your assessment of your defense and the way they held strong in the red zone and kept the Broncos from scoring a touchdown and keeping the score close enough that you could get a chance for a comeback late?
Yeah, as I think I've already mentioned here, I think we need to do everything better. Offense, defense, special teams. You know, there were some decent things out there today, but, you know, we let them into the red area too many times defensively, gave up too many long plays, and let them get into field goal range. It's always good to keep them out of the end zone. That's definitely a goal, but they scored more points than we did, so, you know, we need to play better defense and give up fewer and try to score more.
Thank you.
There you go. Is that it? That's Bill Belichick from Foxborough today. Not much you can say about it. Now, they keep on peppering questions about lack of practice and whatever over the last couple of weeks. I mean, what is he supposed to say? Percentage? 42%. You know, we were 46%. I mean, there's no question that not having the opportunity to practice, the fact that you've had other players now that are on the COVID list is obviously taken away. I mean, look at the starting offensive line in this game today, guys. And you tell me you got Heron, you've got Wynn, who now switches to left guard. Hasn't played that since college, I believe, right? And you've got Tooney, who's a guard who's playing center. Then you've got Umwenyu, who's been great. They move him all over the field, and they have to find a place for him because he's been that good. And Illuminor at the right tackle, and then he goes down with an injury, forces you to take Umwenyu, move him to right tackle, and jury-rig the whole thing all over again.
Sure.
And you guys know, it's all cohesiveness, right? Offensive lines, what cohesiveness do you have here?
None, and the other part of that equation is, you know, maybe your quarterback understands that and gets rid of the ball quicker if you can. I mean, you understand that you've got these are very qualified guys to be in the NFL, but these are backup players and guys that have been bounced around different positions. You should know even more so that you're going to have to get rid of that. And then bring into the fact that I'm not just saying that Cam's got to pay attention to that. The receiver's got to understand that too. You've got to find a way to get open one way or the other. It's one of those trickle-down effects. That offensive line is going to hurt the running game. It's going to hurt the pass protection. It's going to hurt the receivers if they don't run routes. It all trickles down, and we saw it today just be relatively ineffective.
One thing you know with when your offensive line's out there, they got to know what each other's doing. They got to feel each other. You know, because they got to put a hat on a hat. They weren't. Their guy was going the wrong way on a stunt, right? Or he's getting beat coming forward. And you obviously see the Patriots go out there, and they're in one unit. That's what gives them protection. Not the greatest players, but they have to play together. And they're not doing that because the guys are coming in. Let's say a couple guys come in, haven't played these positions. You're putting them up and down. They don't. And you know what, Glenn? All the footwork and handwork is different from right to left to inside. It's different. You have to practice that over and over to get it cohesive. And they're not having any of it.
They're like fish in a school, right? I mean, they all have to feed off of each other. I don't think there was any cohesiveness. As a matter of fact, you saw it that Wynn had trouble on that first interception, the one that was deflected by Shelby Harris. That was Wynn. Wynn didn't get the block in place. So you could see all of that stuff breaking down. I'm not trying to let Cam Newton off the hook.
No.
Unfortunately, I think, guys, this is what he is. I mean, Christian was talking about this past week. If we suddenly think he is going to become a guy who's going to be protective of the ball, safety with the ball, I'm going to give up this play because I know I've got another down in which I can go and make something happen, that's just not him. He's a risk taker. This is the way he plays. And you're going to have to live and die with it, I think.
He doesn't read quickly. And if it's,
he does not.
Like you said, if you know the situation, if nothing's open, throw it in the stands. Right, don't take away 5 yards from us and get the clock clicking. So he has to know that. Any quarterback has to know.
Plus,
that.
The other thing is that when you are the most experienced player outside of Edelman, maybe on your offense, then maybe it falls on you to adjust your game accordingly. And you're not going to ask a young, inexperienced offensive lineman to change things up as much as possible. Quarterbacks, especially athletically talented quarterbacks like that, should be able to understand that, you know, you might have to do things a little bit differently. And again, I'm not sitting here, you know, telling you that his receivers weren't getting open and his offensive line wasn't blocking as well. And Denver was just throwing whatever they could at him. I understand that too. But at some point, you know, you're the guy. You've proven that you are the guy in this league. And sometimes you've got to make adjustments of your own instead of assuming that everything's going to adjust around you. I'm not sure that's happening, but today, the way he held onto the ball just didn't make sense.
I think we've seen that all year long. I think that's his mindset. So some of what he did today, you know, lack of being able to get into sync with anything, was probably the fact that he and the team hadn't practiced much in the last 2 weeks. He hasn't played in a while. Okay, I'll give him that. But hold on, Freddie, you can't take away from that.
That he holds the ball. He knows that, especially in crucial situations.
I don't think that has anything to do, him holding the ball with not practicing the last couple of years.
Right.
I think
right.
that's him. I agree with you, Fred. I think that's him. And if you look at his entire career, that's what he does. So you're going to have to expect there are going to be far more interceptions than you had with that last quarterback. I forget his name. Maybe you can remind me somewhere down the road here, Fred. And the other thing is that this guy is going to also get sacked a lot more than Tom Brady, because that's what he does. He takes gambles out there on the field. I think we're going to have to start understanding. We're going to have to live with that.
Yeah, and you know what? When he steps up, like you said, in the pocket, if the pocket has eight guys coming, you got to back up and give yourself time to throw. Run out one left or right,
Bloody
or back
Superman.
Up and throw. And when he steps forward, it's over. Either you're going to make a breakthrough or you're going to get sacked. And he was getting sacked and getting sacked and getting sacked. Get out of the pocket and throw.
True, but
get out.
But there's a lot to be said. There's a lot to be said with the confluence of a very aggressive defense who turned it up even more aggressively because of what they saw on the offensive line, an inexperienced offensive line, a number of which guys playing out of position, a number of guys being backup players. I get that. You're the senior guy on this offense outside of Edelman. You've got to understand that. It's got to be part of what you're thinking. Yep. And it probably wasn't what he was thinking. He was thinking, I'm going to play the way I play, and I get it.
It's been successful for him.
I understand that. Yep. It's been successful, but success is measured differently up here with the Patriots.
And also, he made a couple of big plays with the run. Let's not forget that. But, you know, for the amount of times he made big plays, he ate the ball too many times.
But that's how he looks at it, Fred. Yeah. He says, I'll get it back. I'll get 25 on a run in the next play. That's how he looks at it. And I think that's why we've got to start to understand him in a much different manner than the last guy, who was methodical and looked at safety and protection of the ball. Much different approach.
Well, Tom's way to protect himself from the ball is get the ball off really quickly. He doesn't run like that. So Cam has that running ability, and sometimes he uses it to detriment.
Yeah. All right, 617-779-7937. That is our phone number. We're going to get to the phone calls. Coming up next, we'll get your reaction. So did you feel better because they made that big comeback at the end? Or were you more looking at this thing saying, oh, my God, this is a bad team, and how did they not play better in this game? We'll get to all of that. 617-779-7937 with Freddie Smirlis, with Steve D'Asi. This is the Real Postgame Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Drop a disappointing one to the Broncos. Back to the Real Postgame Show with Ordway, D'Asi, and Smirlis.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios. Best Yet. Shop your local grocer for the best quality and value.
On the home for Patriots fans. WEEI.
32 for Cam. Headed down and intercepted. It's picked off by Williams, who dove and got it on the deflected play. It may have been Harris who came through. And the Broncos get their second interception of the season. The game's first turnover.
By the way, Cam was lucky because Harris got his hand on another deflection, and that ball just idly fell to the ground, but that could have been another disaster in this game. So in 4 games, guys, he's played 4 games. Cam Newton has 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and a whole lot of sacks. That's not so good, right?
No, it's not.
Not so good, Glenn.
Nope.
You're really sharp there, Glenn.
Thank you.
Good.
But they've...
They were in them. They were all the same. They lost to get Seattle on the 1-inch line.
They were in the game.
Yeah, they're in the game.
Kansas City without them.
Yep, we were in the game, and today, they're in the game. We got to win one of those.
They were in the last 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah,
is what
they had a shot at it.
Yeah.
You know, and they lose... You can't lose 3 of those.
They got back in because you had a young quarterback that made a couple of mistakes, and you had 2 great defensive plays by Jonathan Jones and J.C. Jackson. That's what you had.
Regardless, they get back in the game.
Yeah. Let's get to the phone calls, and we'll get some reaction here of what people think. This is a game I think you look at going into it, even though you didn't have much practice in the last couple of weeks. This is a team you got to beat, and they ended up losing it
and looked
like they were getting blown out through most of the game. And yet, in the end, they still had a shot. So, to the phones we go. Here's Grant, first up here on the Real Post Game Show. Hello, Grant.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, Grant.
There's clearly a lot of takes to get from this game. The first 3 quarters were just bad. We definitely need to add an extra weapon to our offense. Those trick plays in the fourth are all because of McDaniels, I feel. But I want to talk about Cam. Am I the only one that thought Cam looked scared of the Broncos due to his past record with them? I mean, that last drive.
The helmet scared him.
Career.
No.
If he got a touchdown in that last minute, we'd still be considering him as a long-term quarterback for the Pats, but I feel Bill's going to be looking at Garoppolo's performance now.
Speaking of...
We saw Tannehill, a.k.a. Tano, step up to the moment in the same position as the Pats.
Yep.
I mean, now I'm going to be rooting for TB. Let's go TB.
Who?
TB.
Oh,
I think he's talking about the...
notice that Cam dove at a couple of fumbles.
we thought that would get clear that
dove,
up.
Dove right at him, didn't he?
Yeah.
Listen, that's the idea of the Patriots' future quarterback
Broncos are in his head.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the same defense, right? You got Bradley Chubb is a hell of a player.
Yeah.
Shelby Harris had a hell of a game. I'll give him credit. He played really well in this one. And who was the other defensive end? The kid Williams, he played well too. But this is not the same Denver Broncos defense that he's accustomed to seeing in the past. I just think it's the way he plays. I think we're going to have to learn to live with it. It's why people in Carolina used to get frustrated all the time, Fred. Well, at least for the year. I'm not sure he's here long term. I know, you know, Wiggy's got him signing a $160 million contract. I don't see it happening.
Wiggy's got a crush on like Fred had on Brady. All right?
So, which crush is better?
I mean, wait, hold on a second.
Come on.
Did you hear what he just said?
What crush is better?
How great is that?
Right?
Steve, it's like we're caught in an episode of The Bachelorette.
Whose crush is more handsome? That's all. All right? Well, it depends on your taste.
They're both handsome. One can't play.
Well, both have won MVPs to their credit, right?
Did you hear Stidham? I just heard Stidham.
Oh, you were. Fred was calling for Stidham very early in that game.
That's right. How early, Steve?
First play.
First off, he said he didn't expect Stidham to even be active. He thought it was going to be Hoyer. Please, so, you know, please. I mean, all of a sudden he just turned to it was. But again, you know, we knew that you had to know that you were getting what you had in Carolina. Now it's just a matter of eliminating some of the mistakes that he was allowed to do in Carolina. And today,
I don't think a lot of people realize that. He cleared it all up.
But how do you not? Well, maybe because you didn't bother to watch Carolina because they didn't have many great
years.
That's
why I got $1 million account, not $100 million.
We looked at him and said, okay, well, he'll have to clean some of these things up. And maybe the other thing that we talked about too with him was maybe with the injuries that he's had over the last year and a half or whatever, maybe he wouldn't run as much or be willing to run as much. But there were a couple times in that pocket where we're like, run, please do something.
I hate to say it, but you want him to stay upright, and you figure he's going to get more injured or hurt if he's running the football. He's got to run the football. It's the thing that makes him pretty good out there. It's the thing that makes him, that gives him some sort of production. I'm sorry, getting back into the pocket and throwing nonstop, it doesn't work.
Except that he took
Julian Edelman was 2 for 2 today. We could have him throw the football.
6 for 6 in his career.
Yes.
But didn't it look like Cam took a couple of big hits in the pocket today too?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not necessarily, I don't know.
But the difference is with that, not great receivers and not great passer, they're not dropping guys off like they did with Tom and flooding the zones. They're bringing people and not as much coverage because guys are easy to cover. So you got to realize that the front of that line is a lot more people than normal.
I also think that first off, Fajio is a very aggressive defensive play caller anyway, or head coach now. And also, they looked at that offensive line and said, okay, I've never heard of this guy. That guy's a backup. This guy's a backup. And this guy's playing out of position. So obviously, that was part of the game plan from Denver today.
No doubt.
But how do you not know that? If you're a quarterback who's been in the league for a while or a coach, how do you not know that that's going to be their plan? They had to know it.
That's a great question. Let's go to Craig. Craig's in a car next up here on the Real Post Game Show. What do you got, Craig?
Glennie, Fred, Steve, nice talking to you, gentlemen.
Thank you, brother.
You know what? Obviously, there's a lot of things working against the Pats today. The injuries, the lack of the practice, just general continuity. I don't think the coaches did him any favors today, though. I mean, I think there was play calling that could have been a little stronger. I think you guys stole my thunder a little bit. You know, Cam isn't going to be Brady. He doesn't have the arm as Brady. He's not as accurate as Brady. But the reality is, you got to run the ball. You got to do what you did in the first 2 weeks where – yeah, they're not a high profile, high fast moving offense, but they can do enough things if you run the options, if you run Cam. They didn't do that till the fourth quarter when they felt like they were desperate. I don't know.
Also, use him as bait because he's going to have the ball, right? They're going to bring people up, so it's going to be easy to throw over them.
Craig, you know? I understand exactly what you're saying, but wouldn't it lead you to the conclusion if you have a banged up, backup ish offensive line, it's going to be difficult to run the ball too, as it was to protect the passer.
And plus, you know,
I mean, both.
I mean, run the ball with Cam because that's what his strength is.
But everyone's keying on him too.
It's pulling the defense. It's playing a little gimmicky. It is not sitting in the pocket. And frankly, in the fourth quarter, there's a few plays. It's like, why don't you roll him out a little bit? He's obviously, you know, in the traffic there. He's not going to step up in the pocket like Brady used to. Roll him out and let him see the field a little bit, and then run if you need to. And for one thing before you got to hop here. What is that? Not the challenge. You got to challenge that play on where they ended up punting, and it was clearly a first down.
James White.
What are you doing there? I mean,
that the idea, absolutely, I think you have to challenge that. That order has to come from up high. The coaches will, every coach, whether they, unless it's something obvious that happens well within their line of sight, they're going to rely on the people up top to see whatever replays they can see in time to call that. But you're on offense. You have the time to do that. That's the question. It's not why you didn't do it. Why didn't it come down from the top? Because they showed it. They showed the replay on TV well before the punt. That automatically should have meant that you had somebody up top telling him you've got to replay.
Those are the eyes of Belichick. He's calling them. Did he make it? Did he make it? They're giving him the decision.
Head coaches don't want. They don't want. They want that decision to be made up top, and even then they might overrule some of it. It does, but you're not going to make a living as a head coach by watching the game on the field and contesting every call that you think is it. You have to rely on somebody up top who's getting a better look and probably has a replay on it.
What were they looking at? We saw it from the end zone, from our vantage point.
Saw when it happened, and then we saw it even more so on the replay.
That's right. And that's a big play.
Yeah, it certainly looked like a bad spot. Getting back to his point about running the football today, they ran the football quite a bit during the course of the game. Now, granted, Cam did an awful lot of that. I think Steve's point is well taken, and that is you've got a makeshift offensive line, and then you lose Illuminor in the middle of it, and now you're moving people around even more. You're sitting there going, let's try to keep it as safe as we possibly can here. And isn't it safer to pass block than it is to run block? Here's the other one. Who really ran the ball effectively for them? Cam had a couple of big runs, including that 38-yard run. Damian Harris, 6 carries, 19 yards. Rex Burkhead, 5, 14. James White, 4, 8. They weren't really running the ball effectively, were they?
No. How about that tight end play?
Yeah.
I mean, he catches the ball and falls down.
But again, were you counting on the tight ends?
No, but he had the ball. There's a big play. And that's a turnover.
Oh, the fumble. Was that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
You couldn't hold that. It's right in your hands.
He's the best tight end they have right now. Manny is up next here on the Real Post Game Show. Hey, Manny.
Manny.
Hey, Steve, Glenn. Thanks for taking the call.
Fred.
Basically, my opinion is this is what this team is. What you saw today, this is what your New England Patriots have become.
I don't think that's true.
We haven't done anything in 2 years at the tight end position. The wide receiver position is an embarrassment. And, I mean, Cam Newton, basically, you know, I mean, he's playing better than he did in Carolina, but...
No, he's not.
He's not playing better.
No, he's not. He had an MVP year in Carolina.
Last year in Carolina.
Last year he didn't play much, but the year before. All right.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's nowhere near what he was in his MVP season in Carolina.
Can I just interrupt you? Hold on, Manny. I just want to interrupt you. Yeah. I don't think you can take today's game and extend it out, because some of the things you're saying are valid points. And over 5 games, some of those are valid points. Today's game, the fact that they didn't practice for the last 2 weeks and that Cam hasn't played in a while, I'm not sure today, with the number of players they had available, is really a good barometer as to what this team is. Today, I don't believe that.
Okay. No. All right. Well, I mean, that's fair, I guess, to a point. But you saw the Tennessee-Buffalo game. And, I mean, this has been going on around the league. So this is going to be the way the year goes. I mean, you're not always going to have practice. You're going to have guys that are not available. And, I mean, it's becoming seemingly more and more like it's just the excuse for this team. I mean,
Hold on one second. Steven said it and Glenn said it. You get an offensive line that can't block anybody because they're not in the right positions. And the guys that aren't even players. You lost Scar last year, and he's like a magician. So you're looking at a team that can't block anybody because they're all hurt and they're not on the same page. Plus, I don't think have a magic wand.
This was bad Cam today. It wasn't good, and there were any number of reasons. There was offensive line reasons. There was the injury reasons. There's some reasons, and a lot of it is on him holding on to the ball way too long. There's plenty of blame to go around, but to say that Cam Newton was one that lost this game for you, I'm not sure that's 100% the case. Could he have played better in the most marquee position in sports? Sure, he could have. But the idea that this entire game was about Cam Newton today, I'm not sure. There were plenty of other opportunities for guys to step up.
But one guy control one thing. He can control getting rid of the ball.
True.
Right? That alone brings you to the next notch above. That may have won. But he has to control that one thing. Here they come. We know they're coming. My offensive line's not good right now. I got to get rid of the ball within 3 seconds. That's
true.
It.
True. And to another caller's point, maybe there could have been some rollout plays. Maybe there could have been some ways to get him out of the pocket a couple times. There could have been some other things. I don't know. There's a number of things. There's plenty of slices to this blame pie today. There was the defense, did a good job of not allowing touchdowns, but until very late in the game, they were just kind of there and doing a decent job and allowed a couple of long drives in the second half. But this was a team loss. This isn't one guy why you lost it. But because it's the marquee position, because he's a marquee individual, you look at what he did because it's the most obvious. It's the most obvious.
But Steve, he's not a rollout type of guy. He's his pocket guy, and he runs. He rolls out. He doesn't read him and run that well.
He runs in the interior of the line. That's where he runs right.
Yeah. So he's not a guy that rolls out in the pocket and sees things. He did it against the Raiders. I mean, I thought it was pretty good. But he doesn't roll out and see good on the run.
And he
runs
he doesn't
or
see
throws
well,
downfield.
And he doesn't throw well on the run. I think you're absolutely right, Fred. If you notice when he runs, he tucks it in and he goes up the middle. That's where he goes. Sees an opening, and he's like a fullback. He's got that big, huge body, and he just powers people and just rams through them. That's his style. I don't think going outside the pocket and would have helped at all. Listen,
well,
I think
what would help if
change
sorry to interrupt, if what would help would be maybe getting a little bit of that pressure on the inside away from you. Maybe you have to respect a little bit of the outside scenario, because the pressure was going to come, and they were coming. Well, that's not true, because they were coming from everywhere.
I think they were trying to keep him in the pocket. And so he looked at it and said, the best shot I have is if I see an opening here in the middle, I'm going to take off and I'm going to go. I think this is what we're going to get. I hate to say it. Some coach once said this. It is what it is. I hate to say it. This is what you get with Cam Newton.
Yep.
There's a lot of good, but he would look at it and probably say, I could get rid of it maybe a little bit earlier. On the other hand, if I hold on to it and I can buy myself another second, I can see some daylight. I can get 6 yards for you. I can get 7 yards.
I'm willing to bet we'll see a lot better of Cam than we saw today.
I would hope so. And again,
but I'm
I think
also it, willing to bet that we'll probably see some similar performances.
Yes, we will. Yeah. I think,
and again, I'm not. I've never once sat there and given all the blame or credit to the quarterback. But it's the most obvious thing to look at.
Whatever
we see, the other team sees. They see what he does, and when they bring in the heat, they know where he's coming up the middle to run it, or he's going to fire it downfield, right? And they know he holds the ball. So they're bringing seven guys because they're not going to – and also they look at a receiver, of course. This is no one that puts fear in you.
No tight end.
No real stud receiver.
Yep. Yeah. So, again – we're not making excuses for Cam Newton. We expect more of more from him than what we saw today. We absolutely do.
But the tight end position is so frustrating.
It is.
And because of the Noah Fant injury, they had a rookie out there playing his first game. How do you pronounce his name, Fred?
Which one?
Okwabunam or something like that.
Who I want to block you.
Exactly,
like that.
Right.
Yeah,
and he had two big catches in the game, right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Right out of the gate. Didn't do much the rest of the way, but he had a couple big catches. And you look at the Patriots' tight end position, it is so freaking frustrating. Here's Jimmy in Malden, formerly of Saugus. Jimmy.
Hey, Super Cam barely got stampeded by a pack of Broncos today in Foxborough.
They did poopies in the field.
Jimmy has trouble on losses. If you notice he just can't muster anything.
Kind of like Fred. He has very little to offer during a loss.
Same idea. All motivation. I don't know what it is. All right, 617-779-7937. We're still waiting for Cam Newton. He has not spoken yet. And unlike past
what
years,
you do speak so well, Glenn. No need to hear what you say.
Where the quarterback comes out right after the coach, we're not getting that this year. So we're waiting around for Cam Newton. In the meantime, we're taking your calls at 617-779-7937. A very frustrating game in Foxborough today, and we're talking about it with Fred and Steve and you next.
Drop a disappointing one to the Broncos. Back to the Wheel Post Game Show with Ordway, Diassi, and Smirlis.
Presented by Kaplansky Insurance.
Northeast Electrical and Zudy.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEEI.
All right, back here with the real post-game show. The Patriots lose it to the Denver Broncos. 18-12, your final. And New England is now 2-3 with tough games next week against the 49ers up here in Foxborough and then in Buffalo the week after that. So it's going to be tough over the next couple of weeks. So I want to bring this one up because this one is puzzling to me, and that is the passing game. So Cam Newton had one more catch than N'Keal Harry did today. N'Keal Harry had zero. Two targets, and even on that last play, I'm not saying that he could have gotten to that ball. Did Spikes get caught in the turf, or did he move, or did he freeze in the cut? Because what the hell happened on that last play?
It looked like a bit of both. It looked like it might have been a stumble out of the cut, but it also looked like it was going to be too far outside anyway, even if he hadn't stumbled, because the stumble happened right as he was passing, as the ball was almost passing him. So it's one of those things where I didn't see enough replays to know if it was that bad a pass or if he slipped. I thought they would have showed it more because it did look like he tripped or something, didn't it?
Yes.
Or was tripped.
I'm just saying
you didn't see it. He may have been tripped.
Stop it. Just stop.
So I expect with Julian Edelman, we're dealing with a guy that's just been beaten up. I mean, isn't that fair to say?
Yes.
To me, it was pretty obvious that he's had 2 weeks now without any real physical practice out there. And he had six targets, but you could see he wasn't out there an awful lot. I saw him in 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7. He's on the sidelines, and you're sitting there going, they're preserving him. They know he just can't do it at 100%. What's the excuse for N'Keal Harry? This is a guy that you drafted in the first round.
Yep.
You thought he was going to be your big receiver, yep. Right? He's also a guy that's big, has
strong,
wide catch range. Radius, and so you figure he's the type of guy you could throw it in the area. Maybe he can go chase it. Fred, he was targeted twice with no catches.
He's not the fastest guy in the world. It must be his routes because they're all over him, right? They're running the route with him. It seems like wherever they go, he's covered.
And he's obviously not earning as much time as just, well, I couldn't tell from this week because they barely practiced, but I guess it even holds for first-rounders that you might get a little more playing time because you were first-rounder, but you still got to end up earning your time, and he's not earning it.
What was he, 6'3", 230-pound guy?
Yeah.
Tight end. He's a tight end. Yep. He should be able to nail some of these DBs. That's what we're all waiting for.
Yeah.
To me, the disappointment just rolls on week after week after week. And again, I know people keep on looking at Julian Edelman. I'm sorry, you can't use Julian Edelman with 12-plus targets every week. He's physically incapable of doing that anymore.
True.
So where's it coming from? So James White had 8 catches today. Bird had 3. Izzo ends up with 3 today and 38 yards. And N'Keal Harry ends up with none. Isaiah Zuber made a nice catch today.
Sure.
That was a big 16. That was a great catch.
Bird might have had a couple too.
Yes.
You know,
but
so.
One.
N'Keal Harry is killing them right now.
Yeah. What are you going to do though, Glenn? Who are you going to put in for him?
Well, you can't right now. You need him to surface here, don't you, Fred?
You have to analyze the films of what you're doing. Are your routes being given away too early? I mean, if he's slow coming out.
You don't think they've
done
that already?
He's got to take it in. Yeah, they probably said every day when you come in, you need to plant and go. Maybe he's rolled a couple times you saw it, he kind of rolls out with that cut instead of planting.
I've seen that. You're right. Yeah. I've seen that. Yeah.
So he's just going to get sharp with his routes
and be physical and go up and get the ball and
when the quarterback's in trouble, start doing
something.
You've got
a quarterback that's not near as accurate as your previous quarterback, but you can still go and get the ball. He's not going to put it. Brady could for years could put it where only you could get it.
Hit a fly in the eye,
you know. But now, you've got a quarterback that's still good, but not near as accurate as Tom Brady.
Steven, another thing is when Glenn, when you made your break with Tom, the ball is already there because he reads things quickly, and Cam doesn't. So he turns and then throws it, gives a chance to the DB to break on it.
Okay, so you already said it, Fred. He's not the quickest. He doesn't get great separation, and maybe doesn't run the greatest routes. Okay, so all of that is probably fair, and I would expect if Tom Brady is dealing with timing patterns and being at a certain spot at a certain time, N'Keal Harry may not be the perfect receiver for Tom Brady. But based on what you just said, Steve, of what Cam Newton's bringing to the table, this is the perfect receiver. Throw it in the area. and he can go and get it. That's what this guy should be doing.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. You have no choice but to go and get the ball and to use your physicality against what are nine times out of ten smaller defensive backs. So, yeah, I mean, that's part of what it is. But, you know, asking a guy to be more physical and him actually doing it are not always compatible. Some guys just aren't. It's not in their nature. I don't know. There's I've seen him make a couple of catches where he fought for them. So I know he's physically capable of doing it, but there's going to have to be times where he has to impose himself physically on the defensive back and find ways to get open.
And pretty soon he's has to show that he can play eventually. You're not going to be here or anywhere.
Well, he's got
Iron is the first round pick.
Not going anywhere this year.
Guys, he's killing him. You look at the depth chart, and they're not good enough at this position to begin with. And anybody expecting Julian Edelman to be your number one guy, he can't do that anymore. Even out of the slot, he can't do that. No. He can't be the guy that you pound over the middle because you're trying to move the chains. I'm sorry, that's not Julian Edelman anymore.
True.
You can see it physically, he can't do it. So who else are your receivers? Bird seems to be the guy that Cam is more comfortable going to. Certainly that sideline stuff, that's where he likes to go to Bird there. But if N'Keal Harry doesn't move up the ladder and become a guy that is – that you're looking at for 65, 70 yards on most of these weeks, then how do you throw the football?
Safe to say he's actually moved well down the ladder?
He's moved
well down.
Today he's at the bottom of the ladder. Yeah, yeah. No catches, no yards, no touchdowns, no longest catch, and he was targeted twice. And one of them was out of desperation on that last play of the game.
So wherever he runs, he doesn't take away defensive backs or defensive linebackers so other people can get the ball open. They're not even paying attention to him.
Yeah.
So easy to take out of the game. It's ridiculous.
And that's a lot of that is your personal desire to get better. You got to find a way to get better. It's not like you don't have the tools. You've got the physical tools. You've got the size. You've got reasonable speed. Now it comes down to going overboard in your preparation, going overboard in
being an intelligent receiver,
taking what you're told. And I gotta believe that they want him and have told him to be physical and to impose himself on the defensive back.
See, they need him, not just want him. They need him.
Desperate.
That's what I mean. I know. I have to imagine they've had this conversation with him, you know, but. Wanting to do it and doing it.
Maybe he can't. Maybe he just can't figure it out.
Listen,
I don't know.
Some people like that.
Right?
You're right. I don't know, because if you look at their depth chart right now, going into the season, a lot of people thought Julian Edelman could be the number one receiver and could do what he's done in the past, get you 100-plus receptions and move the chains. That ain't happening anymore, guys. We all know that. And it's unfair to even expect him to do it right now. So then you look at it and say, well, what's the next guy out there? Well, N'Keal Harry is the next guy. He's giving you absolutely nothing. Bird's giving you speed, so he clearly is beating the defender at times out there, and that's how they get into him. And they're going to White or they're going to Burkhead out of the backfield because they really, I mean, they're even going to Ryan Izzo right now, and you talked about it earlier. Freddie dropped the ball. But
wide
they have
open.
No tight ends.
Wide open.
Asiasi was actually in the field today for a play. Did you see that? He came out for a play today. But they don't have tight ends. How the hell are you going to score in the passing game?
How
is this going to be your game all year
season,
long? Cam just runs?
A tight end. How, you didn't get one tight end?
I'm amazed at that, Fred.
We all thought someone would be coming in when Gronk left.
Yeah.
To me, that is the biggest hole.
And he loves his tight ends.
I know.
Belichick.
I don't understand it. It's the biggest hole, and we've asked the question to Bill, and you know he doesn't really answer it much. But I can understand to bring in two kids that he really likes. And you guys know it takes a while probably to pick up the system, even Gronkling, but wouldn't you think that they would have brought in a veteran?
Yes.
And, I mean, Izzo, I think, is better this year than he was last year, no?
Probably by the fact that he has to be, just by the fact that there's nothing else out there. I mean, if you've got lesser targets, even lesser targets than last year. I mean, did they have more
offensive line?
Did you have more? Their offensive line wasn't terrible last year.
No, this year.
Oh, this year,
right
yes.
Now,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So you don't have time for guys to make the breaks quickly.
And by the way, you didn't play a really good secondary here today.
Nope.
You're going to see a lot better secondaries
absolutely
than you
right.
saw today.
Not even a question.
Yeah. This is a secondary that you should have had some success. And instead, you had 157 yards through the air. That was it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you had 195 because Cam had 157.
But again,
you had other guys throwing the ball.
It just seemed like there was nothing going on other than a little bit of hope here and there in terms of, can Cam run for a first down? Can they not get the ball knocked down? Can they get the ball off before he gets sacked? It wasn't take the ball and run it down take it down the field and score that winning touchdown. It was like, what can they possibly do? And we saw it with the play calling.
Yep.
We saw it with the, how many times did Edelman throw?
Twice.
I mean, really?
Why do we put him at quarterback?
You're on the drive to win the game. And I guess, okay, maybe
and your best receiver's throwing the ball.
Maybe
you need a trickery in this game.
And maybe you thought that, we just did it and it worked. There's no way they'd expect it again. But or they said, this might be our best chance for completion.
He's the best quarterback on the field.
I don't know. But all I know is that this offense, that's a decent front seven. That's an aggressive defense. The secondary's not that good. It's not a great team. And you didn't look good at all today offensively.
And they had key people missing. They had one of their best running backs missing.
I know.
And Gordon and Noah Fant is the starting tight end. He's been a good player.
I was talking more about their defense, though. Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. It's one of those things where we all looked at it. Even as the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season progressed, we all looked at it and said, okay, there's a game we can win.
You know, we kind of look at this was the bye week for the Patriots, right, this week? Supposed to be tonight,
yeah.
The bye week, and then they had to stop because of the disease that's going around, and then they all of a sudden the bye week was gone. Where they're preparing for it, so you can understand there'd be lack of confusion, a lot of confusion out there.
But I'm giving them all that, Fred. I think that's legit.
When you have the situations, the simplest things
have issues.
Yeah, they do.
Tennessee's had a ton of issues with this with COVID.
Everything affects people differently. Yeah. They have a more cohesive unit. They have a quarterback that's been down there, and they got a 290-pound running back that knocks people over. That's a little bit different.
Could be Tennessee's are just a better team all around.
They are.
And their quarterback.
Look what they did to Buffalo.
And their quarterback is much better. Ryan Tannehill's been very, very good, and he brought them back again today, late in the game, 4 seconds left, and then he brought them to victory in overtime.
Right.
The one thing that scares me about Cam Newton is how many times during the course of games now is it a broken play? Cam runs for 12, 14.
Agreed.
In this case today, 38 yards, and that's your big play.
Yep.
Your big plays are coming from broken plays that Cam Newton has. He's run out of options, and he's sitting there saying, screw it, I'm just going to run it. And he's a big guy. He's got some speed. He's very athletic, and that's saving your ass right now. That's it.
He's not quick, though.
Yep.
He doesn't move in the pocket quick. When he takes two steps and goes, he's fast, but he's not. He's not that quick in making a move to throw the ball. He hesitates on both.
For whatever reason, that's become the biggest play threat on the Patriots right now.
Yes, and that's not a good thing, Steve. That is not a good thing.
No, you know what? It's a good thing to have that.
Yes,
but not
good thing to
change up.
Not for it to be your main threat.
These are the big plays you remember in today's game are Cam Newton.
Yeah,
broken plays too.
Right.
They feed on that back at the end of the game.
On that.
So I like having those broken plays, Fred, and sometimes to his detriment because those broken plays come because he's spending plenty of time back in the pocket.
Yep.
And sometimes you don't see, somebody like Shelby Harris coming off the edge. You don't see stuff like that. So you get burned by it.
How many times, Landon,
we've watched? But those shouldn't be the biggest plays of the game.
No, but they are. But also, do you ever see all of a sudden watching Cam? He's got the ball, and he's moving into the pile, and everyone's all around him. You go, that's not a good thing. That ball should have been gone.
I was trying to think of other big plays in this game. As a matter of fact, one of them, you mentioned it earlier, Fred, was the throw he made to Ryan Izzo. There was only one problem. Izzo ended up dropping the ball
after he made
that catch.
Him.
That was a big third down play, right?
Yep.
Instead, it was an interception.
Yeah.
Fumble.
All right, 617-779-7937. No Cam Newton yet. I mean, this is a little aggravating.
Takes a while
too,
to get those hats on and stuff.
Don't you find this a little aggravating every week? He comes out like an hour after the game has ended?
Yes.
A little aggravating. You're the quarterback, right? Shouldn't you maybe address some of this stuff.
Well, maybe
we're going to stay with it.
Getting treatments,
maybe massages.
We're stay with it. We're patient, right, Fred? We're patient.
Right. We should be patient, Fred.
He could come out at midnight tonight, and we'll stay.
We'll be there.
Fred is patient.
Right here.
Exactly. We'll check in and see what's going on with that Brady game with Aaron Rodgers as well. And more of your phone calls at 617-779-7937 right here on the Real Post Game Show.
Real Post Game Show on EEI is presented by
Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com.
Co-sponsored by the New England Recovery Center. Leave the path of addiction and get on the road to recovery. Visit NewEnglandRecoveryCenter.org for more information.
Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros.
And Zuti. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zuti.com for details. The Pats drop a disappointing one to the Broncos. Now it's time for the Real Postgame Show with Glenn Ordway, Steve Biasi, and Fred Smirlis. The phone lines are open. Call 617-779-7937. Now broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, here's Ordway, Biasi, and Smirlis on EEI.
All being presented by Big Y. And just checking in on the game down in Tampa Bay. Green Bay has scored twice already. It is now 10-0. They have just begun the second quarter, and Green Bay has the ball back again. So that game has been all one-sided to this point. We'll continue.
Take it easy there, big fella.
We'll continue to. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I?
The refs are screwing Brady.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yep. Game just
good part. Big game tonight, though, Fred, down there for the Buccaneers and for Tom Brady, wouldn't you say?
I would say correctly.
Big game.
Big game. Huge.
It's a big one. It was not a big game for the New England Patriots today, if anything. Extremely disappointing. Granted, last 2 weeks have been nothing like normal. And so you give them a couple of excuses here or there. But then again, you're playing the Denver Broncos, right? You're playing the Denver Broncos.
True.
And you got to be a lot better than what you were today.
You know what? You didn't have to be even a lot better than what you were today.
A little bit better.
You had to be a little bit better.
Yep.
A little bit better.
Hold on the ball.
Right, we got Cam Newton, so let's go to Cam Newton right now, guys, down in Foxborough. Right,
final play, did you expect N'Keal to turn on the outside? Or rather, the outside.
Well, we didn't execute the way we're supposed to, and that's a lot that was contingent upon me. I knew I was going to get hit. I just tried to find a spot to give him, you know, so he can make a play on it. It was a defender in the interior part, still in the field, so I still tried to give him an opportunity. So, that's what it came down to.
And I just, as a follow-up, I just wanted to ask you how much you felt like the time off impacted your performance in terms of, did you feel rusty? Did it take a little while to get going?
Oh, without a doubt. But yet, you know, we're still professionals. And, you know, we're expected to do our job and play at a high level, and we didn't do that today. You know, anytime you turn the ball over that many times, you know, the success rate is extremely low, but yet we still had an opportunity to win, and we just got to find ways to do that.
Next question, Ben Vaughn, followed by
Sherry
Sullivan.
Hey, Cam. First off, just how are you feeling with everything, and how did you take the news that you tested positive? What was that experience like for you, and how was the illness for you? Did you experience symptoms or anything?
Honestly, for me right now, I'm just trying to move forward. You know, obviously, respectfully, you know, that was 2 weeks ago. You know, still bitter over the game and just trying to focus on ways to just get better. You know, obviously, everybody knows what the situation was, and, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, I just know for me here moving forward, I just got to play better football, and that's what my job is to do.
Next question, Tara Sullivan, followed by Chris Ryan.
Thanks. Cam, I know you want to look forward, but it's kind of the first time, you know, we've had a chance to ask anything about it, and I think that's why we're just sort of interested in how it felt to be back, kind of how much you missed your new teammates, and how tough it was for you, you know, to have something like that take the game away from you for a little while there, and just what it felt, you know, to be back. And if, I guess then in light of that, if it took a little bit to kind of get the engine going a little bit today.
Yeah, I know exactly, you know, what it is. It's just respectfully for the sake of where we are right now. You know, I don't think it's beneficial for me to speak on that, being obviously the performance today. You know, it showed a lot of, you know, much needed. The time off showed. But yet, you know, like I said, I have to be better, and I will be better.
Next question, Next question, Chris Ryan, followed by Andrew Callahan.
Hey, Cam, it seemed like you guys obviously had difficulty on the offensive side finding a rhythm today, and that's, I guess, to be expected given the lack of practice time. But how do you go about trying to define that rhythm moving forward and build from here?
Well, I think for us, the first thing, the number one thing is protecting the football. And, you know, that's what it comes down to, you know, from the turnovers, you know, those are drive killers and those are game killers. And, you know, like I said, it starts with me. You know, I'm extremely frustrated in myself and my performance here moving forward. You know, I'm here for one reason, and, you know, I didn't get the job done today. So you can just imagine how I feel. But, yeah, I don't want this to be a pity party. We do have, you know, another opportunity here coming up. We have to follow this up with, you know, great, you know, practice this week, and I look forward to it.
And how do you find that rhythm in practice, do you think? And did you like the direction you were heading in with your new teammates prior to the COVID situation?
Of course. But, yeah, you know, nobody cares, you know, about what the it was or what the reasons were. And to be honest with you, I don't care either. I'm not expecting people to care. You know, my job here moving forward is to find ways to win football games, to put this team in the best situation. And it just starts with protecting the football. And that's what this game came down to. No matter, you know, what the sputtering was on the offensive side, you know, the defense gave us opportunities by holding them to field goals. And that's what we got to – that's what we can only ask for as an offense. And, you know, we just let this game slip away by the lackluster performance of protecting the football.
Thank you.
Next question, Andrew Callahan, followed by Evan Lazar.
Hey, Cam, it looked like in a couple of the sacks that you took there, you were holding on to the ball a little bit longer than you would have wanted. I'm wondering how much, if at all, was that a function of Denver playing different defenses or showing anything new you might not have seen before?
No, I felt prepared for the game. I felt, you know, like we had a grasp of, you know, doing what they were doing. You know, we had prepared for it. You know, obviously it being 2 weeks away from the initial last time we got to see them play, so there may have been any, you know, small type of wrinkles, but they were true to who they were on film or what the film that we did see. So, you know, needless to say, you know, it just comes down to production on the offensive side, execution on all cylinders, and, you know, we just have to do that. No matter who's out there, no matter, you know, what the substitution is, no matter what the situation is, you know, just get the job done at all costs, and then we'll worry about everything else moving later.
Next question, Evan Lazar, followed by Yufei Chen.
Hey, Cam, I know you don't want to make excuses, but with the lack of practice time, did you feel like your throwing mechanics, you know, were any different than what they were before the layoff? And it was hard to kind of stay sharp in that regard without being out there at practice?
You know, I just have to be better.
Next question, Yofi Chen, followed by Dan Roach.
Thanks, Stacey. Cam, the last play of the game, what did you see there? It looks like your throw went outside. Nikhil ran the opposite direction. So what happened there? Is it miscommunication or something else?
It wasn't a miscommunication. I knew. I tried to anticipate, you know, where he was going to be. You know, I let the ball go prior to him breaking on his initial route. You know, I knew I was going to get hit, and, you know, I tried to give him a chance.
Next question, Dan Roach, followed by Doug Kine.
Hey, Cam, just a thought. You mentioned you can't turn the ball over, obviously, on the offense. What did you see particularly on that first turnover on the screen pass? Obviously, they made a great play to dive and catch the football. But just from your perspective, what were the turnovers like for you, and how frustrating were they for you today?
I mean, speaking for me personally, you know, the interceptions came off tip passes. You know, the one early on in the first quarter, which led to points, and another one, you know, me trying to flatten a receiver out, it got tipped as well, and that also led to points. So, you know, collectively, offensively, we knew what the keys were going into this game. And, you know, we didn't uphold our end of the bargain, to say the least.
Follow up to that, how much now do you look forward to getting back in the room and practicing again, but knowing you guys are 2-3 and you need to get it going in a hurry here, starting with San Francisco?
Yeah, there's no need to panic, but we for sure have an opportunity here that, you know, we just cannot allow ourselves to just go through the motions and expect, you know, us being who we are is going to take care of itself, because that's not the case. We're not that good at that particular point yet, and we need obviously practice, and hopefully everything else is halted, you know, from the COVID situation, and which will allow us to do that. But yeah, even if whatever the situation is, we know we're not the only team that's being faced with it, and we just have to be ready to go here moving forward.
Next question, Doug Kine. Cam, last month you said that, you know, the answers at the receiving positions or the pass catchers are in the locker room. I'm just wondering what your confidence level in your pass catchers are at this point.
Extremely high.
And just one follow-up. You were talking about the batted passes. How do you avoid some of those in the future?
Yeah, those guys get paid too. They watch film just like we watch film, and you know, that was just a hazy play, you know, by those guys of you know, seeing an opportunity and making the most of it. So, you know, it's nothing, you know, if you had to point a finger, you know, obviously it's for me, but yeah, you know, those guys just made a great play at the ball.
I don't see any other hands raised, so thank you very much, Cam. Thanks for
there you go, Cam Newton. Better late than never. About an hour plus after the game. But I would say, guys, that he took responsibility, admitted that he was rusty without a doubt, but we're professionals. We didn't do our job. I said he's got to play much better. I mean, he said he was disappointed in his game, seemed to take responsibility even for the last play on himself. I would say he's correct with most of it, that he was responsible for a lot of this stuff. And then even said, going back to your original point from the start of the show today, Fred, number one thing is protecting the football, and it all starts with me.
Yeah. And don't take yourself out of a game by getting sacked.
Not surprised that he gives the right answers, and I thoroughly believe that he believes what he's saying, too. He's been around long enough to understand what he's supposed to do here. He's been around long enough to understand how it appears, and even though he and good leaders will purposely take on more of the responsibility than they need. I mean, no talk whatsoever about a beat up offensive line. No talk about inadequate receiving core. You know, that's what a good leader does. He couldn't come out there and not admit that he didn't play well, because he did. Everybody saw it. So, you know, as far as his press conference goes, he hit all the right notes and chalk it up and move along.
All the things he said was true, but what you can do for yourself, period, is those simple things. Don't get sacked, right? Throw the ball away when you have to, and don't step up in the pocket when you can't get out. And he'll correct some of that, hopefully. But for the rest of the stuff, you can't, you know, guys being out for several weeks and not playing, that's a factor.
Didn't talk about that, though.
I know. Yeah. But these things he didn't say. He could have said a lot of stuff. What he said was, I'll take this one. I don't take away any blame to anyone else. And I still have, you know, I still have trust in my receivers. Didn't dump on anybody, which was a good thing.
So yeah. I want to make a comparison without you getting goosebumps here, Freddie, from this year. Right, it's dangerous, Steve, I admit.
Tom's killing him on TV, too.
Aaron Rodgers threw an interception, though.
Tom's done nothing. Two interceptions.
Tom's blue eyes.
One for a touchdown and one down to the 1 yard line. And then Tom handed the ball off and Fred broke out his Tom Brady jersey.
I would say, Fred, that Tom hasn't done an awful lot, but the defense has been really good against Aaron Rodgers to this point.
Well, that was bad.
But to compare this year to last year, because how many times did we say it? They were 12-4 last year. Easier opponents at times. Okay, I'll give you that. How many times did we sit there and say they won today and Tom Brady wasn't that good? And they were able to get away with it because, well, they had better personnel defensively, and they just seemed to find a way not to make the mistake and lose the game. Okay?
Well, they also got off to a ridiculously good start because they were playing every backup quarterback that existed in the
exactly.
league.
Exactly.
You know?
But you look at this year with the improved schedule and the fact that you have a quarterback that will make mistakes and will give the ball over to the other team, which Tom didn't do an awful lot. Does Cam Newton, with the personnel you have at running back, offensive line, and receiver, and that includes the lack of receivers at the tight end spot, Cam Newton, doesn't he have to be really good for this
perfect.
Team to win?
He has to be almost perfect. As yes. far as making mistakes, to give him a chance to win.
I agree he has to be, well, actually,
I mean, again, Tom had more margin for error last year, right, but he didn't commit those errors. He didn't put them in that tough position.
Except today, he had a huge margin for error. All he had to do was play a little bit better, and they win that game.
Yeah,
and so that goes for the whole team. That just doesn't go for him. All right, so,
just him alone.
But I think you're right, Glenn. I think that there's a less margin for error here with this team than even Brady had last year. But again, even playing 10-15% better than he did, they win this game.
Yeah.
You know, and that again, that goes for the rest of the offense too.
But, tight ends,
but he's the marquee position, and he took a couple of sacks that he didn't need to take, and made some throws that weren't where they needed to be.
Say, do your job, right? Things are getting worse, and you're trying to do something too hard. You're waiting for the guy to get open, and you get sacked. All right, throw to someone you see, or throw it out of bounds.
Right.
Don't try and make things that aren't there.
True.
And make it worse.
True.
So, and I just think we're going to, and today it was a lot to do with the opponent of who they were playing. I think the rest of the year, you can look at the schedule being a lot tougher, especially in the next couple of weeks. And he has very little margin for error.
Agreed.
He really
very
does.
Little. Very
and
little.
You can't turn the ball over. You can't do these things. This team is getting very few penalties. What did they have, one today? That was it, right? They're very few penalties. So
and not settle for field goals.
But right. And the defense, again, gave him opportunity after opportunity because even though Denver marched down the field, the defense in third down situation limited them to field goals.
Yep.
They didn't have a touchdown.
Yeah. And that's unheard of. Six times you stop them for a field goal and without creating a turnover early in the game, they came on late and got some gifts. Well, not some gifts, there were some great plays being made. But the fact is that it wouldn't have taken much in the first 55 minutes of this game. Improvement in play to win that game.
So yeah. Denver ends up with just under 300 yards. They end up with 299 yards, right?
Right.
164 through the air, 135 passing. And yet third down efficiency, they were 4 of 14.
Right.
That was the only reason the Patriots were still in this game.
Yeah.
It's a great stat.
Yeah. That was the only reason. And they only had 15 first downs. That's not an awful
lot. People complain about if you can hold the field goals and you get a couple of touchdowns, that means you're going to win. So the more times they drive down the field, they'll get frustrated. They start losing momentum.
Denver didn't do that. I think they had faith in the fact that offense – that the Patriots are putting out there today wasn't doing much, and they knew that they could bring it and make things happen to their advantage.
We looked at it a few times. He punted instead of kicking the ball. What was it, the 39-yard line or something? They punted it. It would give you an opportunity to go down the field and score. So they were getting – they're playing scared too. I said, wow, this is the New England Patriots. And so they that was a dumb thing.
I don't think they were playing scared. I think they were playing knowing what they were going against.
But when you punt the ball in there, if you got a field goal from there, remember they took instead of go the field goal, they
would have been a 56 or 7 yard field goal, and he'd already
like
kicked
crazy.
Two over 50,
yeah.
52
the game's
and 54.
Over if he does that. So.
True. You know, but again,
and with the offense the way the Patriots are playing, you should have said, well, you know what, my defense can stop them. So
and he got some help too. Though I mean, Denver got some help too from the coaching staff. Am I wrong to think that when they should have gone for the extra point instead of 2 points?
I think everyone did.
Isn't that standard procedure, Glenn? I mean, I think that's you don't. It's normally and granted, some people do things different here and there, but
if you got one, it would have made it an 8-point game,
right?
So then what you do is when you score that next touchdown, obviously you've got to go for the
you
two.
You go for the two when you have to.
Right. What Bill did is he put himself in a position where if you miss, now suddenly you need two scores.
One
score doesn't work with the two-point conversion.
Which I didn't understand.
I don't either.
Did anybody ask him
nobody
that?
Nobody asked him that question they didn't ask him.
But guys, what happens
we'll ask him tomorrow.
You missed that one, and the whole room went... Now we can't. Now you need two scores instead of one.
Is that him playing a hunch, or is that a? I don't care if Belichick plays a hunch. There's nobody else I'd rather have play a hunch. But is he playing a hunch or is he a hunch?
There's a play that we think will work.
Yep.
Remember he did on Miami. We think this play will work, and it didn't work. So that must have been it.
Unfortunately, he'll never explain it. His answer will be something like, because we thought that was the best thing to do at the time or something like that. He's not going to tell you, but Fred's right. He probably looked at it, and Josh said, this play's going to work. Look at the personnel they have out there right now. This play will work, right? And so let's go for it now because we can get the two right now. And it failed because it was, again, a situation where Cam Newton had the ball. He was running.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got him.
Yeah,
they got
good penetration.
I just thought it was strange, and then I thought it was strange when nobody asked him about it.
None of it surprising, Steve.
You know,
I mean, some of the questions that were asked.
But you can look. But, yeah, you're right about it. I forgot. You're absolutely right. But you also can
look.
What
percentage would you say you were affected by?
If you want a percent. But there were legit coaching questions there. Why didn't you challenge that spot that James White looked like he got the first down? That was curious. Why did you call a timeout when it was obvious that Denver was just going to come and try to pull you off sides,
Steve? That was so obvious. You've had Belichick coach you before.
Yes, I have.
So you tell me.
I was scared to talk to him then.
Okay, so over the last 2 weeks, because I agree with you, I don't think Belichick had a particularly good game today. Okay, and he's going to say the same thing tomorrow. We got to coach better. We got to play better, and he's going to take responsibility because that's what he does. But I'm wondering, this is a guy who thrives on being not only prepared, but over-prepared, more so than the other coach. Last week, he gets to do nothing, and then on Friday, he makes the decision to say, we're not going to practice. Nobody's going to come to the facility.
Right.
So, to me, it was almost like he showed up for the big term paper, the big test, and he wasn't prepared for it.
Well, Glenn, maybe it's... He's looking at the long term. He goes, if we bring people back in and this thing arises again, then we're not going to have any.
No. I'm not questioning what he did. I think he earned the trust of his team. I think his team really probably united around that because they finally said, you know what? Bill really cares about us. He's not, but we all know, and Steve, you know better than anybody, he thrives on having more preparation than anybody else.
Absolutely.
And he demands, didn't have that this week, and it probably drove him crazy.
Well, he also is demanding of his players to be more prepared because you could practice. Granted, going into a game, you might be using 15% of your overall playbook. You know, the game plan might be 15% of that, but it doesn't matter. You still got to know the other 85% because he could change it like we've seen him do. He could change it in warm-ups. He could come, and I've seen, and
you have to be ready.
I've been there in situations where he would, you know, I was a signal caller for his defense only because the other linebackers didn't want to do it. But there were at least one time that I remember where he's like, listen, that things we were talking about in goal line defense there, we're going to probably do something different here. That whatever. This was before the game. So, yes, while he expects you to be prepared, he also expects you to be prepared for anything and everything, so you can't just say, I know what we usually use. You have to know everything that they use, and he doesn't care. He'll do it whenever he has to.
Whatever in the books, even from training camp, he'd go back to training camp, and you should know it because you got the book, you got to be at home, and you got to prepare.
What was that time, Glenn, when we used to have him down at the stadium, and we're talking about great Monday night football games, and I asked him, yeah, remember that game with the Giants when we had that goal line stand against Denver, and he goes, no, that was a Sunday night game. I said, no, it was a Monday night game. I was in it. I played it. He goes, no, that was Sunday, November 4th. I'm like, well, no, really? He goes, no, it wasn't. Meanwhile, I'm on the computer like, da, 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 da.
He got
like,
me.
God damn it. He not only told me it was a Sunday night game, he told me it was a date. So he keeps in mind everything there, which makes what looks like a mistake even more I don't know, egregious or something.
I think this is a rough week for him. Because yeah. I think he probably did not have this team 100% ready to play because he didn't have the time that he normally does. This was out of his element. He's one of those guys, I think, that has to prepare or over-prepare for him to perform. How many times has he said, you win the games on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday,
true.
Right?
Said true.
That. And so he didn't have the opportunity to do that, and I think it drove him crazy, and I think it might have been a factor in his
what's
game.
What's the biggest thing that he does better than else? Scheme. Yep. And change, and everyone on the whole team understands what you're doing. You can change to what you did last year. It's all in there. And he demands you to be it. And right now it's hard because the guy's not on the same track.
Part of that
no
also,
preseason either.
Part of that also means that he has to be on his game 100% too. And not. And when I say him, I'm talking about him and the staff. Because when you talk about the opportunity to throw the challenge flag on that James White run, which I still think he should have.
Huge play.
That comes from upstairs.
Yeah.
Almost 95% of the time, I'm sure it comes from upstairs.
Ernie.
So
Ernie
is there any? That's why I figured it would be. Ernie. So,
yeah.
So you know, that might be a situation where not just some of the players, but some of the
coaches.
Coaching staff
they're going to hear it.
Missed practice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Bill is not a hunch guy, as you guys know.
No. If
he's going to throw it there, he's going back and forth with Ernie Adams upstairs saying, you know, Ernie, what did you say? You know, what did you say? Do we have it here? Are you guaranteed? Are you sure? Because you still don't want to blow that opportunity. You still want to have a challenge flag for the end of the game. You're still trying to come back in the game. So you still, you know, you don't want to do it. If there's a good chance you're going to lose out on that one. All right, I promise we'll get to all of your phone calls coming up next at 617-779-7937. A lot of people want to talk about this game. We're doing it with Fred, with Steve, and it's all part of the Real Post Game Show presented by Kaplansky Insurance.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.